Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman in the studio today, and our next guest is from the firm of Hemingway & Barnes, and we have Nancy Gardner, who is the Director of Family Office and Philanthropy at the firm. Nice to see you today. Thank you for coming in.
Nice to be here.
Welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs. I know that we've had a number of your colleagues on the show, and now we, at this time of year, it's always nice to hear from somebody that deals with family office matters and giving. Because it's the season to give. So
exactly.
Do you want to tell our listeners a little about your practice and what it is that you do and
sure. Happy
types
to
of clients you work with?
I'm happy to be here. First of all, my colleagues have told me wonderful things about the show. I'm happy to finally have an opportunity to talk with you and a great time of year to do it. In our practice, advising families and family-owned businesses, my particular practice, we work with them on giving. The giving can come now at the end of the year, as you've just noted, or it can come any time in the year. And actually, we work all year round advising families on giving.
I would imagine you're thinking all year round along it. Hopefully your clients are thinking that way,
well,
too.
Well, I'm thinking that way, and I'm also thinking it's really good to give in January. You never know what might happen later in the year, so
absolutely,
waste not the time. So anyway, what I also like to tell people now is that, you know, what, there may only be 7 shopping days till Christmas, but there are 14 giving days till the end of the year, so there's time yet to give.
So after you've gone through all your holiday celebration, settle down and think about the opportunities to give.
Right. Or around the holiday table. And that's one of the things that we work, you know, we work with individuals, families, and businesses. And one of the things we find is that increasingly this is something that families want to do together.
Absolutely.
Why do they want to do it together? They want to do it together because it brings them together. It allows them to express their shared interests, and it allows them to teach each other about issues that might interest them, that they might, you know, one person might know something that another person might not know, and it's a great way to share. It's better than fighting around the table. So
that's for sure. And I would imagine from a family perspective, from generation to generation, it sort of embarks those values, and
exactly,
people understand it and see it. And you know, that now I, as an adult, as you grow, you say, oh, now I understand why Dad was at those meetings every, you know, third night, or
exactly
involved
right
with those organizations, or why he used to drag me out on cold mornings to pack boxes and do those types of things.
Exactly so right. And actually, that's a very important thing you just mentioned, the packing the boxes, dragging them out. One of the things we do with our clients, you know, we can advise them in any number of ways, whether it's sitting down with them to have a meeting to discuss how they might give, whether it's actually creating the foundation or the fund that will do the giving, or actually going and doing a site visit as a family or as a business. You know, this is an entrepreneur's show, and there are, I'm sure, entrepreneurs out there. I know our own firm, Hemingway & Barnes, has done site visits as a firm. We've actually been to Cradles to Crayons, which is not far from here. I drove by it on my way over here today. And we've done that with families, too. We've taken 3 generations of a family out to a farm to pick produce that gets then taken to a food bank.
It's probably a different perspective and an interesting perspective. I think many people have the perception that people who give large donations just want to give money, but I think, you know, it really helps them to understand what the organization is all about and live it to some
degree.
Well,
that's right. And your 3-year-old grandchild will understand if they pull a carrot out of the ground and put it in a box and watch the box get on the truck. And it's, you know, it's baby steps, literally.
Yep.
But, you know, to your point about people writing a check, the one thing I like about the work that I do is it's all positive. You know, whether you write a big check, a small check, do a site visit, give of your time, as a board member, whatever you do, it's all good. There's no shame in writing the big check and not wanting to get involved, nor is there shame in writing a small check and getting involved. It's all good.
Well, that's wonderful. So tell us a little bit about your involvement in terms of how you identify, or I imagine there's a process that you go through to try and identify the organizations. Not everybody comes with an organization or a cause, if you will, in mind.
Exactly.
And so I imagine part of what you do is help them to figure out what's important to them and how they want to
exactly. And that's one of the best parts of our job. Starting with the conversation, you know, I sometimes say to people, okay, what is it that wakes you up at night? You know, this year there's been talk of concern about food security, you know, articles about how people in New England are actually hungry in this land of plenty, or needless to say, gun violence has come to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask them sometimes, what wakes them up at night? Global warming, the environment. These are issues that clients have talked to me about this year. But sometimes they don't know what wakes them up at night. Sometimes they say, you know what, I want to know what do you recommend? And so we have a dialogue and we talk a little bit about what interests them. We talk about both issues and institutions, you know, so sort of the conversation about the what, you know, what is the cause going to be? We have the benefit at Hemingway and Barnes of having a staff of philanthropic advisors, all of whom have subject matter expertise. I mean, I'm trained as an attorney, but we have people on our staff who have degrees from Harvard School of Education, fine arts degrees, background in environment. So we have
fascinating. So really, the depth and the breadth to vet out the causes, if
right,
you will, or really
exactly.
Understand the difference between various organizations that, you know, appeal to hunger, perhaps. There's
exactly
a whole host
right.
of them. So
right. So, and we're on the road. We're beating the pavement. We're all around. We do a lot of giving in the region of northern New England and also in Florida. And we're on the road looking at organizations, kicking the tires. We have a database of about 1,500 organizations that we have really vetted. We have a technology we use for our clients. And again, this is something business owners like. Our clients who are business owners appreciate this. We have the ability to track your giving over time, to track it both geographically, subject matter, and we also help our clients in terms of evaluating whether their gift has made a difference. Or in the case of a large gift, you know, I mean, a lot of our clients are making significant gifts. They may have started a private foundation or a donor-advised fund, and they're making significant gifts, and we help them craft a gift agreement that will identify what they, the donor, plans to do, but also what the organization plans to do, and put benchmarks along the way. So they're giving a 3-year grant for $750,000. Well, if the end of year one, the work outlined in the gift agreement isn't done, there's no obligation to pay year two. And that's not meant to be nasty. It's just meant to be sure that everybody
objectives are achieved.
Exactly right.
That's a really interesting approach. I would imagine, you know, at that level that people want to obviously ensure that they're having an impact. And it's so sometimes very difficult to ascertain that, especially with an established organization or with an organization that, you could certainly see that they're feeding meals every day, but
right.
really how well are they doing that? And I know that charities obviously have a requirement to disclose within their annual reports, et cetera, how well they're spending their money. But again, that's not entirely transparent. And I would imagine for large donors, there's probably a means to be able to vet through that information and really understand it.
Well, there is. And you know, on both sides, because we represent the donors, and I don't want a donor ever to be embarrassed by making a grant to an organization that isn't worthy of the grant. Now, sometimes it happens anyway.
Sure.
And as with any investment, you know,
there are people at the end of the day running these things, and
yeah,
you
exactly.
can't always control human
exactly
behavior.
Right. Exactly right.
Right.
There are bad eggs everywhere. But, you know, the other thing is, you want the donors to be honest. You want the donors to do the right thing, and not to try to give to an organization that. That they know isn't very good, but some friend of theirs runs it or something like that.
So help us walk through sort of what the, you know, from a big picture perspective, what the process typically is when a client comes to you. And I would imagine they may be coming through the firm, their clients in other services, and they are probably clients of yours that come through the family office piece and are
both.
Looking for guidance. And
both.
And so from a big picture perspective, it's getting a holistic view of their world and their lives and what's important to them.
Right.
And then.
So one of the benefits of being in our firm is that we advise people on their trust investments as well as their legal work, you know, in our role as trustee and our role as attorney. And so, you know, research has been done that typically advisors do not raise the issue of philanthropy with their clients. It's usually the client that raises the issue. Only our work, we always raise the issue because we come at them, we have this holistic approach to advising. And so that we sit down with the client, and let's say we're doing their estate plan. I always discuss with a client whether they have any philanthropic goals. And so that would be the first thing, whether it's at the estate planning stage or in the case of a business owner, they've sold their business. What are their plans? They're looking for something to do. Often we raise the issue of philanthropy. Or they're a business owner. Things are going really well. There's a transaction. It looks like they may be able to transact this business down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, for tax planning purposes, the possibility of creating a charitable entity before that decision is made, because you can't do it after that decision is made, and in a way that will be tax-wise and help the client. So you first have the conversation about where is the client in their life cycle and what makes sense. And then for affluent clients, we have a conversation about, do you want to do this in, with a big major gift? How much credit do you want for this? Do you want this to be about you? Do you want to create an entity? How much of your giving do you want to do during your lifetime? How much do you want to do after you die? You know, do you want a foundation to continue, or do you want to do a series of planned gifts that will continue your name long after you are no longer here? Do you want to do a donor-advised fund? Those are very, very popular now. It is a very common gifting technique for people who are affluent as well as people who are less affluent. And certainly for the sort of mid-level client, you know, someone whose assets are, you know, not in excess of $5 million, but who is affluent enough to make some significant gifts, I would definitely say that the donor advised fund is increasingly the tool of choice.
Hmm. So it's really a very, as you said, a holistic approach to the client and looking at a number of different levels, right, looking over the span, the horizon, long-term horizon for what their needs are, and trying to integrate all those pieces together.
And sometimes you see, you know, we sit in a room sometimes with a family, and you can see that the client and their family, you can see the family pushing the client to do this, assuming the client is the male, let's say, who started the business. You can see that, or who's had success in business, you can see that his wife is very interested in doing some philanthropy, or you can see that his kids are of a generation where that really matters to them. I mean, you know, my kids are much more philanthropically inclined than their cousins who are 15 years older than they are. Hmm. It's just the nature of things.
Well, I think that's just a greater awareness. And I think, you know, the Gen X, Y, Z, wherever we're at now, I think there tends to be a greater awareness of the world around them,
right,
and wanting to give back in some respect. And
they want to fix the mess we've made. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Are you finding that with perhaps younger entrepreneurs and people who have had success at young ages, that they are different than perhaps people of a generation ago?
They definitely want to get going quickly. They're not, you know, it's interesting.
Not patient.
Yeah, you probably see that too, right? Mm. And interestingly enough, they're looking at it, and this is a whole other topic for another day, but they're looking at it both in terms of straight philanthropy, but also mixing the two. You know, they're saying, why can't my business do both? You know, the Tom's Shoes or
right,
the Warby Parker, you know, these are people who are thinking, well, wait a minute, we can
do well by
do
doing
everything.
Good.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That philosophy. Excellent. Well, Nancy, it's really been a pleasure, and you've brought to us a lot, and a lot to think about this time of year, and how fortunate we all are, and the opportunity to give back. And as you mentioned, there's probably a whole other show in there, at least. With some other topics. So that's all the time, unfortunately, we have for today. I want to thank our guest in the studio, Nancy Gardner of Hemingway & Barnes. And Nancy is a partner and the director of their family office and philanthropy services. And that's a mouthful for me, but
for everyone, me too.
And I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and remind our listeners that Radio Entrepreneurs can be heard daily from 6 to 7 p.m. and from 9 to 10 p.m. on the internet at radioentrepreneurs.com, as well as the Nobex Radio, and available across all platforms of mobile devices. So Nancy, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for coming into Radio Entrepreneurs.
Well, thanks for having me. I've enjoyed myself.
And we'll be right back with another segment.